Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Peter, joined in the new year by the two usuals, Donnie and Tom. How are you, Donnie?
I'm very well, thank you.
How are you, Tom? Nice to have you back.
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Okay, this is a different podcast than usual. We're not going to need details of games, details of rank snap, because everybody wants to talk about double gaming, triple gaming, so we're just going to quickly look at a couple of things and we're going to stop right in. Tom's got a bit of detail on players and form. And then we'll go to questions, and hopefully this should set you up nicely for triple game week and double game weeks that are coming up along the road. So first of all, the Fantasy Football Royal Rugby Rumble, the first set of group stage is over, so there's 21 managers left, I believe, and Tom is flying the flag for the pod. So what we will do is, I want the game week to finish, the cup to finish in game week 30. So I know I did post out three managers out per every second week. It's actually going to be four. I will update this on Twitter as well. So by game week 30, we'll be a winner. I'll also put these details up. So that sits nicely for the Half Hour Facts Podcast Cup finish into the season. Otherwise, it would kind of be very close, and I didn't want to go down that road. Also, you may have noticed I have posted a couple of fantasy leagues going on right now because there's two international tournaments starting very, very soon. The AFCON Fantasy Podcast, AFCON Fantasy Cup, and the Asian Cup starts this week, very week actually. So I have put two leagues up for our podcast. As you feel joined, if you want to join, it's a bit of fun when you miss the football, it's up to you. The AFCON Cup is very like FPL, you set and forget our captain, it's week to week. The Asian Cup is kind of like the Champions League fantasy podcast roles, you can roll your manager, so it depends. And plus, there's also quite a lot of players that people will know in Asian Cup, especially for the Scottish game. There's about 7 or 8 players there. Australia has got Hearts, Hibs, on South Korea, Japan, Celtic players as well. So anyway, I digress. We'll go to where we are. Festive period's finished. 3 or 4 games in the past. Where we landed, where we're sitting, and overall rank. Tom.
Oh.
I'll go to Donnie first. Donnie, where are you the rank?
Well, I've had a roller coaster festive period. The last time we spoke, I was 137th. I dipped to a low of 349, and I've finished on a global rank of 236. Some of those postponements just killed me altogether. I just didn't do well at all. So I had a green arrow the last game week, so hopefully I'm heading back in the right direction. But it was not that good for a while.
I myself had a couple of bad dodgy weeks, but that's 2 green arrows of trot, and I'm back up to 62nd in the world, so I'm happy with that. Tom, rank?
I'm 84th.
Right, so quite really good ranked, and it's only halfway through the season, so not to complain. So, as I pre-mentioned, triple game week coming up, followed by double game week, and then another one, I don't know, a couple weeks later after that. But Tom's got some stats for us, so Tom, I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, I thought we could just work through the league table from bottom to top and discuss each team and if there's any players that we're looking at going forward. A lot of people will be on wild cards, so they'll be considering players from potentially every team in the league. So just looking at recent form from the team and any sort of stand-up players. So I'll start on the bottom. Coming in at number 12 is Livingston. In the last 6 game weeks, they've had 3 goals and 2 clean sheets. So looking at Livingston, I was initially quite dismissive. Their form's poor. There's not really any standout players. Of the three goals out of the last six games, they're kind of spread amongst the team. However, when you start sort of fiddling about trying to get a wild card draft, you realise that you're maybe struggling for some cheap assets, and then all of a sudden the double game week against Dundee and Ross County starts to look a bit more appealing. So from what I could get out of the Livingston squad was Penrice, the defender, 2.6 million. He recently had an assist, and there's clean sheet potential in that double. And another one to note of, Kelly's no longer on penalties. It seems to be Shinny, so he could probably be a cheap enabler as well. But I wouldn't be expecting too much from these players. But if you're trying to get a squad of 15 for a bench boost, then you might have to resort to the bargain basement. But I'll come to you first, Peter. Are you considering any players from Livingston? Are you wildcarding?
Well, I'll just start. I'm not wildcarding, so... But if it was wildcarding, I think Penrice would be one that was... I've talked to him a few times. I think me and Don had at one point this season as well. He was kind of attacking fullback, but the form dipped. If it's for budgetary and you try to get 15 players playing, as you mentioned, kind of slightly get better defensively, Tom, I think that's not a bad shout if you try to kind of squeeze your budget. Playing two games, I'd give him a good chance of maybe having a clean sheet on him. But yeah, Penrice, or any other of the back line, but apart from that, midfield, no. Kelly's, I believe, still injured, hopefully, part of my plan, and up front, they're quite lacking, so that would be it for me.
Yep. Donny, are you wildcarding, and any Livingston players?
I wasn't going to wildcard, and then when the new round of fixtures got announced, I think I see it as my only way out. I think what helps is game week 23 marries up well with game week 26. It's the same teams double, trebling in both of those. So if you wildcard for 23, you should be well set for 26. So for me, I think I have to wildcard just to get my team in order. But Penrice is the player that I have had. So he's in my team at the moment. When doing all my reviews, I've not really considered any Livingston players. They double Dundee, Ross County, but then they go on to Rangers. So you're going to bring in a defender just to have a Rangers match in there as well. It's not for me. I have done it within my budget, but I have sacrificed like the second keeper. I just thought, no, I'll just keep the funds there. So if I move to Livy defender, then I might be able to get a second goalkeeper in. But these are things I'll manage about before the deadline. But I wouldn't immediately go to Livingston. They're bottom for a reason.
Yep. Penrice is in my current draft. So we'll switch on to the next team then. Coming in at number 11 is Ross County. They have 6 goals in the last 6 games and 2 clean sheets. It feels like the league position is a little bit unjust, as they've had a decent, or you feel like they've had a decent first half of the season, but they also have had 3 games postponed, which means 3 double game weeks, which is great news until we actually dive in a bit deeper. Double game week number 1, Selleck's one of the opponents, so you can perhaps write that off as a single clean sheet. A single game week. But even then, Selleck are conceding, so perhaps there could be a goal there somewhere. The second double game week that Ross County have, Rangers is one of the opponents. So again, it's looking more like a single game week. And then the third double game week they have is against Hearts and Hibs, so a couple of tricky opponents there. Out of the 6 goals that Ross County have scored, James Brown has assisted 2 of them, and also, as mentioned, he's had 2 clean sheets as well. He is a cheap enabler. Unfortunately, he won't be in my team for the double, but given how decent an asset he has been so far this season, I could potentially see me bringing him back in. But I'll come to you first this time, Donny. What's your thoughts on Ross County and the double?
I think if you use reverse logic for Ross County, I mean, okay, they play Celtic and Rangers in that spell. If you look to like some Laidlaw and goals, where Peter's had quite a lot of success, okay, they might not keep a clean sheet, but they're certainly going to have shots against them and saves coming into play. Budget as well, keeper like Laidlaw is going to be pretty cheap. So that's what I'm thinking there. I think we've all probably had Brown over the course of the season, and he's chipped in pretty well. So for me, I don't have too much of an issue there. Danda, I've slated Danda enough on this podcast. He doesn't really do it for me, but again, with budget and, you know, trying to maximise the game weeks. He is possibly a player that could do well for Ross County. I say that, but he is highlight of some transfer speculation. I think Hearts have been linked with him. So again, just wait till you get as close to the deadline as possible and then decide, because Adanda for Ross County versus Adanda for Hearts are two different prospects. You know, might struggle to break into that Hearts team initially. So just wait and see how that one pans out. But I don't mind that they've got Celtic and Rangers. If you're going at the goalie position, if you're going for defence, then yeah, you're just going to have to take a hit and write those two off. But it's a team that gives you good budget and has, you know, rewarded quite well in the defensive area. So I don't mind them overall.
Yeah. I think Danda has actually started to contribute. He's had two goals. Two of those goals that he's had were in the last six game weeks. So
yeah,
people were mentioning before and he had no attacking returns whatsoever, but he is now assured of some returns. But I don't even know if he's assured of stats, to be honest. But yeah, potentially going to Hearts, but they could get him on a pre-contract from what I can see. Peter, what's your thoughts on Ross County?
Funny that Danda starts playing, he's out of contract, eh? Footballs, what are they like? Laidlaw and Brown I've had for a lot of this season. I haven't got them right now, mind you, but the Laidlaw shoot, Donny mentioned, is he's very consistent. The points, even with goals conceded, he's saved points, bonus points been pretty good. Brown I've kept in my team. This is part of why I'm not going to wild card, because I'll talk about this later, we'll talk about chip strategy, but he's decent. Returns, you say, Tom, if they do get a clean sheet, normally he's good for a bonus point. Him and Penrice are good, cheap enablers, I suppose, with a double if you want other players in. Danda, like Donny mentioned as well, if you're looking to kind of try to stretch budget for a bench boost, I get it. Yep, he could be there and thereabouts. Nothing really else in that team fills me with confidence. I always go back, I think we talked about last time, Donny. As soon as, what's the manager's name again? Derek Adams.
Yeah.
As soon as they have slaughtered the league and the players, they seem to have down tools since then and have not done pretty well. So their forms have been great, even though started well. But again, this is you're trying to get a bench boost built or a team built and you're also got a budget that's tight, you want other players in. So you're going to have one or a couple of these players in your team. So, yep, they're all quite acceptable to bring in.
Yep. On to the position number 10 then. We've got St Johnston. They have four goals in the last six game weeks. And three clean sheets in the last six games as well. There's no consistent scorers, but they do have some recent defensive form. They also offer cheap enablers on the wild card as well. The double game week is Aberdeen away and Motherwell at home. Motherwell's in decent attacking form. Not the same can be said about Aberdeen, but you could argue there's some clean sheet potential there. Looking at the team, there's Liam Gordon, a cheap defender at 2.9 million, and Mitov, the goalkeeper, at 2.8. Also, could potentially be an option there, maybe even as your second keeper. They do also have a second double game week, which consists of Dundee and Rangers in game week 26. So, not that appealing there either. But options nonetheless. What do you reckon, Peter? If you're wild carding, would you be going St Johnston?
I like the fact it was short and sweet, Tom. It tells all you need to know.
If
their form has improved in the Craig Levine, they do look tighter defensively. But Mitov is one that's brought to mind, but with Mitov you've got Laidlaw, with Laidlaw you've got other goalkeepers. So I think there could be a team, if you get the right players, you could do well in this double game week. But for me, I've not got any St Johnston players. I am not well carding. And I'm no intention bringing any George Blows in right now. So for me, it's a pass. But I don't disagree why I go for a defender or one of the cheaper midfielders and enables of playing. It's just if the minutes are guaranteed. I noticed we made a couple of signings, I think, as well. They said there's really centre back today or yesterday. I'm assuming these kind of teams buy these players, these guys are going to get near enough guaranteed game time. So it's one to watch going forward as well.
Yeah. What about you, Donny? Any St Johnston players in your draft?
No, it's not a team I'm going to consider, I think, because the likes of Aberdeen, Dundee and Ross County have extra games in hand. That's going to tip the scales in their favour. Defence would be the only place I would go, and that was just if you were on a budget and it was the only ones you could afford. So for me, St Johnston's, I know.
Yep. Coming at number nine then, we've got Motherwell, who have five goals in the last six games and one clean sheet. They are on a purple patch for attack and form just now. Bear and Beerith are two names which keep popping up each game week. And Spittle seems to be taking more of a back seat. Of the five goals just mentioned, Bear is responsible for 3 goals and 2 assists. Beerith, 1 goal and 3 assists. And Spittle, only 1 goal and 1 assist. They don't have a double game week. They'll be facing St Johnston. But they do have a double in 26, where they face Aberdeen and Hearts. The two strikers are players to keep an eye on. And that one clean sheet in last six means for me the defence is a write-off. I'll come to you first this time, Donny. Any Motherwell players, are you going to plan ahead for that?
No, I think they've actually got good fixtures, Johnston, Kilmarnock, Ross County, but because they're up against the double and the triple, it's going to get overlooked. Until their form drastically improves, it's a wait and see if they're any better come Aberdeen Hearts, and even Aberdeen Hearts isn't great on paper. But I think just due to the level of fixtures that we've got and the teams that are playing multiple times, you have to overlook Motherwell. I just don't think there's any standouts there for me.
Number 8 then, Aberdeen.
Peter.
Donny was so dismissive, I thought we'd just pass over that.
Well, I actually own Beerith, and I've actually quite enjoyed Beerith's returns the last few weeks.
Yes.
But as Donny mentioned, it's the fixtures versus form thing. And for example, if you've not got a Majorski or a Bakayoko and they're playing 3 games, do they outscore Beerith from 1 game? Possibly. I'm a fixture head. I'm always going to do it. I like Beerith. You go to the team, it won't be one of my transfers out. But I've watched them with a very close eye, and if he continues his decent form, and Theo Blair as well, they could come back in after doubles are done and dusted, because they're still pretty cheap considering the other assets up front. But as you said, Tom, at the back, they're not very good. And Spittle has came quite, not defensive-minded, but he's taking a kind of backseat because they two are playing more of the winger and the drop number, deep, big man, wee man kind of thing up top. And there's much better receivers than Spittle out there that can, like Armstrong, for example, even though he's not doubling either, but that's just a... So very much, I jumped to get in there and I'll give you with Donny. Motherwell, no.
Right, we'll move on to Aberdeen then. I was getting excited about the triple game week because it's not really something we get very often. So Aberdeen will be facing St Johnston, Hearts and Dundee. Looking back at their last 6 game weeks, we've got 7 goals and 1 clean sheet. No surprise, Miovsky's right at the top. He's had 4 goals and 1 assist. McGrath, 2 goals and 1 assist. Both those goals did come in the one game. And also Clarkson as well, 1 goal and 1 assist. Miovsky, obviously the talisman there, and perhaps could be vice-captain material for this coming game week. McGrath is 4.8, so it can be kind of tricky to wedge him into your midfield with that kind of budget when you consider you're perhaps going to be having Celtic and Rangers midfielders as well. So Clarkson does offer a cheaper entry point at 3.9. Devlin could also be considered as well for his assist potential and perhaps clean sheets if they can sort their defence. So you'd imagine they'd maybe get a clean sheet against St Johnston, and then they've got another two opportunities to get additional clean sheets after that. And obviously a fixture against Dundee, who will be now missing Owen Beck, which may become as a concern. And also potentially they could be facing the Hearts that doesn't have Shanklin, depending on how the transfer window goes. But that's something to keep a close eye on. Pierre, I'll come to you first this time. What do you reckon about Aberdeen?
Well, this is why I'm not well card. I've already got to Aberdeen. I have got the Chris Devon double up built towards us, except not expecting triple game week to happen, to expect a couple of double game weeks, but obviously now it happened, it's fell. So, as you can imagine, mother transfer will probably be Majorski. That'll be Seema, who's in the African Nations Cup, to Majorski. Easy sidestep there, three games. The midfield options, you said, if I could go back in time, I would probably like to have had one of the midfielders in instead, but I'm here now, I've got two defensive, and I like McGrath and Clarkson, but again, it's who you shift out from. McGrath's the one that's helped me a bit of form, I believe, recently. Maybe keep that up. I don't know. Clarkson, I remember from last season, was done quite well for me. Ticked over quite nicely at the end of the season. He's also a good young player. Can he hit the form again? We'll wait and see. But I think you can't go wrong. Everybody's going to talk about the Oscar questions on this later. I have questions on Aberdeen assets later, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yep. Donny?
Yep, so I'm going to have to have a love-in for Aberdeen for the next couple of weeks. Well, hopefully their form stays as good as it is. Three wins in the last four games, so you know they lost the cup final, but they've sort of put it behind them. The only thing to watch for is, yeah, they've got this triple coming up, but they then play back-to-back Celtic and Rangers. Mm-hmm. So if you have the treble, you could potentially for 2 weeks have that treble on your bench, so you're going to have a bit of flexibility in the rest of your team. So just watch out for that. I have, in hindsight, been running Aberdeen treble, so I've been quite lucky. I have got Devlin Miolski and Connor Barron, who got me 8 points in the last game week. He's just that sort of cheap midfielder, does your passing points. I think he got an assist that game, so not too bad. He's out of contract. I think Rangers are one of the clubs that we've been linked to him. Certainly is a good prospect, but Aberdeen, they'll be heavily backed. If they have clean sheets, then there's going to be a lot of folk on Roos and Devlin. And if they go crazy up front, then the people on Miolski will get good rewards. But I have anticipated this. I've got my three Aberdeen already, so I won't need to make any changes there. But they do seem to have turned form. The fixtures are good. Then you've got those two Celtic Rangers games, and then they double again. So it's certainly a team that I've got a good run ahead of them. Hopefully they show that.
Yep. Up next then, another team that has a triple game week, Dundee, coming at number 7. They've had 8 goals in the last 6 and 1 clean sheet. And their triple consists of Hearts, Livingston and Aberdeen. Of those 8 goals, Shaughnessy scored 2, which isn't too bad for a centre-back. And he also provides some clean sheet potential there as well. Though, as mentioned, a bit of a concern how the team will operate without Beck, who's became a bit of a Fantasy Scotland talisman for them. With his clean sheets and assists and goals. A bit of an all-rounder there. Bakayoko is the most consistent striker for Starts. The most recent game, Tiffany partnered him up front whilst Rudden was an unused sub. The sort of second striker slot has kind of, there's been a lot of change there. So Bakayoko is probably the safest option if you're going to go for a striker. They also have Carson in goal, who is a decent choice for a second goalkeeper. For that bench boost, he's only 2.6 million, so nice and cheap there. And Dundee also have a further double game week in 26, which looks good. It's against St Johnstone and County, both fixtures at home. They also have another double game week after that, which is a bit less appealing. It's Aberdeen and Rangers. So I'll come to you first this time, Donny. Are you going triple Dundee as well?
I don't think I'll go triple. I think the double holds a certain amount of value. I do think Carson and Laidlaw would set you up well for the doubles and also the treble. I think Shaughnessy, I've seen him in your team for the last few weeks and he's had a few big hauls. So that's a good alternative to Beck. And Bakayoko is somebody we've discussed throughout the season, gets returns, you know, with the amount of games that he's got. You would expect him to get something out of that. So they're having a good season. The results are hit and miss, I guess, from time to time. But with the amount of games that they've got, same as Aberdeen, I think you have to invest in a couple of assets. I don't think I've got room for 3 at the moment, but I would certainly double Dundee.
Peter?
Yep, I'm going to create a match. I've got quite a lot of people in the wild card with the two keepers for triple game weeks and the bench boost. That would be the make sense. Pretty cheap. Shaughnessy, you had Tom. That's the one I would go for. My only issue is, as you mentioned, both of you mentioned, how they function without Beck, because he was quite a good attacking fullback and it let them kind of got one side of the pitch and they could kind of lopsided it, but they look good the other way. They've been pretty, not consistent. They've been good this season for a team just out of the league. I didn't expect this from them. They've been pretty well. Manders have done well setting them up. For me, it's Bakayoko up front for bringing in. You've got to play the fixtures. 3 games. He's pretty much nailed. This is going to come back and bite me in the ass when he's benched one of the games, but he's pretty much nailed. He can score in any game, I believe. And that's one. I agree with Donny. I wouldn't triple up. I think that's a bit of a stretch. Dundee tripling up, you'd be doing that to detriment someone else. But if you land lucky and you see them up the fence and they get 2 clean sheets, then you've We've stolen much of the rest. But keeper, Shaughnessy, you didn't mention your man McGowan. Tom, you don't mention him in midfield. You like him normally, but you've kept that quiet about him. And Bakayoko up front, that's the ones.
He doesn't have much form, but I'm sure I've got him in my draft, actually. Just to...
There you go, keep it quiet. Hiding it from the listeners.
Yeah, I do have him. He scored a goal. That's really been his only contribution in the last six games. But
so he's due?
He's due. I mean, I applied the same logic to Miovski, and
it worked.
He's been flying ever since. So, you know, I've got the golden touch, perhaps. Hibs next, as we move over to the top half of the table. So Hibs have had six goals in the last six games and two clean sheets. That double game week is a bit underwhelming. It's Rangers and Kilmarnock. The double game week in game week 30 looks better, which is Livingston and Ross County. If you look at the kind of standout players then, Ellie Ewan sticks out like a sore thumb. Two goals and one assist. Boyle has shown some recent form. He had one goal, and in one game he also managed to get two assists as well. But there's not really any sort of consistent players in that Hibs team. A lot of the goals are kind of spread amongst different players. I don't have any Hibs players in my draft. I probably would be considering Ewan if the double was a bit more favourable. But that game against Rangers, kind of writing that off as a single game week. But I think they definitely have to be a team to watch for game week 30 and perhaps building towards that one. That's all I've really got on that one. Donny, have you got any Hibs in your wild card?
No, I always try and give Hibs the benefit of the doubt, but the form's just not there. They've won, winning five. They've lost three of their last five. It's just not as good value as they have been in previous seasons. I mean, I gave Boyle enough time at the start of the season. He didn't give the returns. I think I've just lost patience with Hibs. They have good results, but so few and far between. They play Rangers and Kilmarnock. They've got Celtic a couple of game weeks after that. I just can't back them. So it's a no for me.
Peter?
Well, Boyle's in the Asian Cups. He's not there. Rocky is in the AFCON. He's not there. And I believe Josh Campbell's out for the best part of the team.
Yeah, I did see that.
So that's three first-team big players for them. To me, it's a no for me. I did see the form of Ewan looks good, and is it Tavares looks great, but I think that's a lot to miss for a couple of game weeks. As you said, they've got Rangers a double, and still take shortly after it. Nah, not for me. Not unless I see what a good form coming for the players that's there, but I don't see much value, and there's other teams to consider.
Nah, right off for Hibs then. Coming at number five then, we've got St Mirren. And St Mirren are one of three single game week teams. Their fixture is against Rangers, so perhaps not looking at St Mirren in the immediate future. But they do have five goals in the last six games and three clean sheets, which so far is the best and can't be bettered. Ayunga scored two of the goals. Tanzer has assisted two of the goals. Five goals did come in two fixtures, so their form has been a little bit patchy. There's been lots of blanks recently. And given St Mirren have no doubles, I could see a lot of people coming off them. So, and if you're sticking with Tanzer, perhaps, then he might become a bit of a differential for you, but I don't know if the returns are going to be there. So it's a no from me. But I'll come to you first this time, Peter. What's your thoughts on St Mirren?
No, not this week. I watched the full game against Celtic at the new year, and I thought they looked really lacking. Celtic kind of steamrolled them quite easily, quite quickly. A young guy was suspended as well for trying to kick Joe Hart's molars out his head. And I just don't see him doing it against Rangers. There's so much more options there for doubles and treble players leading up. And you said there's no doubles on the horizon, so I'd sold Tanzer for Devon a week ago, but if I didn't, I'd have sold him this week. He'd be definitely going. You've got to play a fixture sometimes. There's more chance. And you always say, if you play Rangers and Celtic, you're writing that game off. So why would you try to roll through one of these players in a double, triple game week? It'd just be, to me, it's just silly to do it.
Mm-hmm. Donny, any St Mirren?
No, I can't add anything to that. They're out of form. They don't have the fixtures. you're going to a wild card. You can't afford to have anything like that in your team. So it's just an avoid altogether.
Yeah. Coming at number four, then we've got Kilmarnock, doing well for goals. They've had 8 goals in the last 6 games and 2 clean sheets. Looking at the individual performers, Marley Watkins is top for goals with 2. He also managed 1 assist as well. Armstrong, who's been fairly consistent this season, he contributed 1 goal and 3 assists. And Matty Kennedy, 1 goal and 1 assist. Another team with no double game weeks. I've got rid of Armstrong for my double game week / triple game week draft, but he is one player I'd be likely to be looking to get back in just because of his consistency. Some games he's contributed nothing and still managed to get 3 bonus points, so definitely one I'd be keeping a hold of. And if you've got that second wild card built, burning a hole in your pocket, you might use that to kind of get some of these single game week players or players that you've maybe had to sacrifice back in when you're redistributing your funds. But other than that, I don't have any Kilmarnock players in my draft. What about you, Donny? You got any Killy players in your wildcard draft?
No, but let's not forget that Armstrong goal was a penalty against Rangers. It should have been worth double, triple points for that alone. But no, I think they're almost the opposite of St Mirren. They do have good fixtures. They do have good form. Armstrong is... been, you know, certainly one of the players of the season, but he's just going to miss out because you can't really afford to have him in your team whilst there's other teams doubling and trebling. He's probably a player that you would want to get back in quite quickly because he seems fixture-proof, even if they've got... they play Celtic game week 26, which is another double game week. So, you know, it certainly wouldn't hurt there. But I think just because of fixtures, it's a team you're going to have to just avoid for Tishnau. But not because they're not playing well, just because there's other teams playing more. So no, I think Kilmarnock are having a good season.
Mm-hmm. And Peter?
I'm just going to bench Danny Armstrong. I'm no bench boost either, so he's happy to sit there. I'm off top later, but I watched Rangers game as well with Kilmarnock, and I thought, again, Armstrong, it's as blue as he's against Rangers. I think he's brilliant. Everyone goes through him. He's very dangerous. Doesn't look out to touch. I'm actually surprised that we're linked to a lot of bigger clubs in January. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised because whether I see him play, I think he looks brilliant. I think talismanic, he's still quite young, and I think he looks a brilliant player. I think he could play a step up, no offence to Kilmarnock, but I think he could play for a bigger team than Kilmarnock. And I'll just bench him and use him pretty much every week. And he's, like I said before, I didn't miss it a few weeks, but he's a set and forget for the end of the season for me in the team.
Yep. Coming up to the top three then, we've got Hearts coming in at third. They have had 10 goals in the last 6 games and 3 clean sheets. No surprise, 7 out of those 10 goals came from Shankland. Vargas has been featuring recently. He had 2 goals and he is only 3.8 million. He perhaps could be an option if Shankland gets a transfer out. But again, a situation that you just need to keep an eye on for now. Cochran, he's had 2 assists and obviously has the clean sheet potential there as well. Forrest is a player that I've seen mentioned. I don't really get it. He's had 2 assists in the last 6, but they both came in 1 game, so there's not really any sort of consistency there. And I think he's around about 4.2 million, so he's not cheap either. Hearts do have a double game week. They're playing Dundee and Aberdeen, both at home. So I think given Hearts' form this season, I think I've got a triple up. But closer to deadline, I will be keeping a very, very close eye on the Shankland situation. And if there's a sniff that he might be away, then maybe we're going to have to start sort of second-guessing the lineup and the distribution of funds, because I think he's up to 7.1 million in the game now. So almost Kyogo-esque. I'll come to you first, Peter. What is your situation with Hearts?
Got Shankland, got Cochrane. I'll keep both. Personally, I don't see Armies linked, and I think it's the Scottish press with Celtic Rangers. I don't see any of the clubs paying the money that Hearts are wanting for them. So I think the only thing would be maybe a Championship team, and that might come later in the window. So again, you mentioned just watch and see, but I think he's a no-brainer. A lot of people talk about vice captain Lyovsky during this window, this sort of game week. I can see Shankland outscoring him, no problem, but we'll talk about that when we get to later on the chips. But that's the ones, the keeper as well. They've lost a couple of players, one, two players to the Asian Cup as well, maybe. So that's what they watch at the back, maybe. But I think that only makes Cawken more nailed, I believe. And Shatner's on a brand new season. Form his life this season, and he's easily a vice captain pick of the week because he can score against anybody when he's not missing penalties, that is.
That's true. Donny?
No, I think you have to back Hearts with this run of fixtures. They have scored more points in the last five games than any other team, so the form is...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Certainly there, and obviously Shankland. If you're not on them, then you've missed out there. But Shankland, Cawken are the two I've got. It's the two I've got in the wild card. I won't look to change that. If Shankland happened to become a Rangers player during the next couple of weeks, that would be even better, as far as I'm concerned, because that's a hole that I need to fix. But those are the two names, and good fixtures, good form. And yeah, everything's going good for Hearts at the moment.
Yep. Coming at number two then, Rangers. 11 goals in the last six games and three clean sheets. Breaking it down, Seema, 3 goals and 1 assist. Tav, 3 goals, 3 assists. And Dessers with 2 goals and 2 assists. Obviously, Seema is away to AFCON. Another player to point out is Yilmaz. He managed an assist. There's talk of him going to Italy for their double game week to face Hibs and St Mirren. And they also have a second double game week in 26 where they face Ross County at home and St Johnstone away. Given there's been talk about where we're going to play our triple captain, I think triple captain Tav in that double game week 26 looks a bit more appealing. I kind of feel like I've got a bit more confidence in that than perhaps going with Miowski, who, although has been in decent form, Aberdeen's form on a whole as a team has been quite patchy. So Tav could perhaps potentially be a differential for the triple captain if a lot of people jump to Miowski on the back of that triple game week. Rangers do have a friendly in this winter break. They'll be playing Copenhagen at Ibrox on January the 16th. So that is something to keep an eye on, see how they set up and see how things are looking there without Seema, who's been a key player for them in recent weeks. I'll come to you first this time, Donny. What's your thoughts on Rangers?
Well, they've kind of hobbled to the winter break. Injury, suspensions, players out of form. A bad defeat. I'll leave the Peter to talk about that one. But they did manage to win the cup in terms of finishing off the Christmas period. So the main objective for Rangers in this break is to strengthen the key areas. That's going to be up front and left back as well. A midfielder wouldn't go amiss, but you don't really get great players at this time of year. But they will be active in the market, so it's just a case of wait and see. Rangers are probably going to be the most difficult team to try and predict because they're going to bring in players. They need to hit the ground running, and there's limited time to do that. As you say, there's a fixture against Copenhagen. There's a cup match away to Dumbarton, which I can't imagine the top stars will be risked for that one. But they are a team on form. They are playing well. I am planning on captaining Tavernier for this game week. I will vice-captain Miovski. The temptation would be to triple-captain Miovski, but I think if I vice him, I would still get the goals rewards. But I think Tavernier, two games like that, been pretty consistent this season. I think he still gets the returns there. I'm the same as you. I will triple-captain Tav in 26 when the fixtures are a lot more favourable. There's more form to go by. So that'll be my plan. Probably the other standouts, I mean, Butland at the back. I think if you're on a wild card, you're not going to go Butland as your keeper. I think you'll spend that money elsewhere. Defence has been good. Clean sheets are plenty. Midfield, I think Cantwell was starting to come back into form. And whoever the main striker is come the Hibs game, I think that's probably going to be your leading candidate for the position up top. But good form, one blip, can't really complain. And if Clement can get in some sort of better players and get rid of some dead woods, then we should be in a good position second half of the season to win these game in hand and make it a proper title challenge, which it's still got the potential to be.
Yep. Peter, what's your thoughts on Rangers, and will you be playing your triple captain this game week?
No, triple captain will be kept for the next game week. I think that's more appealing, like you both mentioned. Though Taff is fixture proof in that defeat at Parkhead, they still scored the goal. So even though I was kind of squeaky bum time, I was still glad of the points after the full time whistle, mind you. But Tav's a no brainer. I'm assuming a lot of people will be triple captain and Tav or Miloski this week. A lot of people will go for it because it's there, the fixture's there. And listen, it could come back and it could work. Tavern, you could easily all two clean sheets, get a penalty, free kick, whatever, and then you could go sitting there going, that was the time to do it, and we've missed out. But I just look at the fixtures ahead of me, like you both mentioned, and go, I'm more inclined to see him going large, fixtures down the line. Again, it's 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, with more players back for injury, maybe a lot of two players on the team to strengthen the squad. So it's just to me, it's a no-brainer to think, wait till they're better and if they're breaking, they're better and they're maybe better set up. So that's the only thing his team is missing. He did good this year. But is it Silva? Does Silva come in? Is he playing that position? It's one to watch. And Cantwell I've kept. He's been up and down. He returned the last game. So differential. So I'll just roll with that near end. Cantwell this game week. And I'll probably just wait for a double game week for a captain to have. Hopefully obviously in your head you think everybody spunks or chips this week. You don't lose that much ground. And then 2 weeks' time, it's your chance to return. It can also backfire, but that's the way the game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And then last time we've got Celtic coming at number one. They match Rangers. They've also had 11 goals in the last six, and they've also had three clean sheets as well. Looking at the standout players, we've got O'Reilly with two goals and two assists. We've got Palmer with three assists, no goals. Scales managed a goal and assist. Kyogo, two goals. His form hasn't been great. And an emerging player, Bernardo, managed two goals and two assists. Celtic don't have a double, but they are at home against Ross County. Perhaps risky moving away from some Celtic players, as potentially some Celtic players could outscore double game week players if they come back all guns blazing. I have moved away from Celtic players. O'Reilly is the only player in my draft, but I perhaps see it as an opportunity. Having got rid of Palma in the wild card, I think I may be looking to get Bernardo in after this game week. There is a 0.9 difference, so almost a full million there. Palma is 5.7, Bernardo's 4.8. I think Bernardo's perhaps got the better form, but again, something to keep an eye on. And also the caveat as well, particularly for Celtic and Rangers, the transfer window may have an impact on choices. So you've got to keep an eye on the ins and outs. I'd imagine most players that are brought in to these teams will be eased in. So I think it potentially could be risky going with new arrivals in your wild card. Again, for Rangers, the friendly may give us an indication of what the situation is with Fabio Silva. Perhaps he could come into the squad. I do have Dessers in my draft, and that is a slight concern given, I don't know, I feel like the Rangers strikers have perhaps been underwhelming, and that's perhaps something that Clement wants to address. But Back to Celtic anyway. I'll come to you first this time, Peter. What's your thoughts?
We've got O'Reilly and Palmer, and a lot of people have got O'Reilly and maybe Scales. I'll be rolling with the two. I feel that I'll just bench both of them. I'm going to have two non-playing players anyway, so if two of the three of them do really well, they get back. I do believe they could. They probably will outscore some of the players. People at doubles. It's just the way the world is at this game. If it was my wild card, I would have Palmer out and I would have McGregor or Bernardo in as a second, because McGregor is the third scoring goal midfielder in the whole game right now, because he keeps going motoring along nicely with passes and completion. He's nailed the captain. Bernardo's going to be pretty much nailed as well, because I don't think Turnbull's going to look at and Hatate is at the Asian Cup. So I'm not on one. I might be on one in a couple of weeks' time, but that is the way I'd be looking. I wouldn't be selling all three on a wild card, because then you get to try to get back on them again right afterwards. So I really is a no-brainer to keep the team. Yeah, and the rest is just a pick if you want to go for it. I would probably still be avoiding Kewell at this point. I wouldn't be going there. Anybody else apart from the Scales, it's not really worth the value. So it would be your midfield options and who you want to go in for there.
Mm-hmm. And Donny, your thoughts on Celtic assets?
I mean, I've got two. I've got Palmer and O'Reilly, both of which are in my wild card at the moment. But I do take on board what Peter's saying about McGregor. So I might have a look at that, because that would free up funds. I think it would be naive to ignore Celtic and say that Ross County game is good enough on its own when you consider some of the other double fixtures. And if you do ditch Celtic players, you're probably just going to have to bring them back in further down the line. So for me, I would hold two. If I had, I don't think I would hold three. I don't think that's a smart move. But I would certainly hold two, O'Reilly and another midfielder, and go down that route. So the form's there. They'll obviously be fitter and stronger after the break, and you know, winnable fixture, Ross County, Aberdeen. They shouldn't have any problems before Hibs and Kilmarnock. So I think you still have to back the informed team at present. So that would be my thinking.
Mm-hmm. And that's us. That concludes the league table.
That concludes the draw of the Scottish Cup. Well done, Tom. That was excellent. I hope that gives people a lot of people food for thought. So what we'll do now is we're going to go to questions. Now, a lot of questions were probably covered, so we can fly through them.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to what we're going to look at for chip strategy, transfers, base captains, blah, blah, and then we'll head out. So let's get to the questions if I can find them. Right. First up is FPL Liger. So, hi guys. Assuming we're all tripling up on Aberdeen, outside of Mioski, who are the next best two options? And it's always to drop a Palmer or really, e.g. if it was to get them. So, Donny, who's your next two Aberdeen options? And would you drop O'Reilly and Palmer to get them?
I wouldn't drop them both to get them. You could do one at a push, but as I said just a few seconds ago, you would still want to keep your Celtic assets. So the names I've got down is Roos, Devlin and McGrath. And then obviously just the warning that they will play Celtic and Rangers after this treble. So just keep that in mind as how you want to shape up if you are going down there. But I wouldn't break the bank. I probably wouldn't double up in defence either, because they are a bit shaky. So even two out of the three would probably see you okay over this run of fixtures.
Yep, I give you that. I wouldn't be ditching two of them. I would ditch one and maybe hope it works McGrath or a collapsing punt or Barron, like you said. But that would be my take on it. Yourself, Tom?
I have tripled up. I've got Mioski, McGrath and Clarkson. The way I approach it is I feel like they could haul in that St. Johnston fixture. And then the Hearts and Dundee, if you kind of amalgamate that into sort of a single fixture, it's almost as if they're getting their two appearance points. And then if there's perhaps some bonus there, then it's almost like a single game with guaranteed more points. It's almost like an appearance and perhaps an assist. So I have tripled up, because you don't often get these triple game weeks. And if there's a haul there, and then a few bonus points here and there, then they could be getting some decent returns.
Next up is some Melvinho, 96-8. How many Celtic assets do you think you'll have in your team for game week 23? Yeah, they've only won single game against Ross County, and other teams have double and triple. So I'll start. I'm going to have two, Palmer and O'Reilly. They will be on the bench, mind you, but I'll probably get both on the bench. Donny, may you go start with?
Yeah, two for me. It's just such a good fixture, and you wouldn't want to corrupt your team and then have to peg it back over the next few weeks. So two seems reasonable.
Tom, many players?
Yeah, just one. I've just got O'Reilly. So I think I'm the only one here that has the second wild card. So I can execute that at any point to try and, I mean, depending how Celtic's form are when they come back, depending on who they bring in through the transfer window, then it kind of gives me that opportunity. So I feel like because I've got the second wild card, there is that opportunity to be a bit more risky with this upcoming game week.
That's true. Yep, you can take a point because you can save yourself at the end if need be.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got a team here, so I'm just going to quickly go through it. There's any changes. Obviously, triple captain and bench boosting, right? So you've got Roos in goals, Devlin at the back, Scales at the back, Shaughnessy at the back, Tavernier captain, so I'm assuming actually triple captain. Catmull, O'Reilly, McGowan, Bernardo in midfield. Shankly, Mioski up front, Vice Cap Mioski. On the benches, Carson, Cochrane, Kuchervilla, Emma Clausland. And I look at that team and I really can't see much wrong with that. That's a right decent team. Expect a lot of points coming for that. Do you want your thoughts on his team for his triple captain, bench boost, vice captain?
He's got three Celtic in there, so I would drop Scales.
Yep.
He's also got McCausland in there. Whilst McCausland has been playing well and he's scored, I think if you change that to Bakayoko, you get better returns.
Can he get probably to Bakayoko? 3.8 million, is Bakayoko maybe two, unless if we need to drop down Scales?
Yeah, I think if we made those two changes, we'd be better off. But it is well balanced. I just think he's probably got too many Celtic players going into the run of fixtures, but if he's not wildcarding or bench boosting or anything like that, then it's probably fair enough.
No, his wildcard's active. It's like a seat on the picture.
Oh, is it? Active. Oh, well, yep. I'd definitely take Scales out for a cheap defender and McCausland to Bakayoko. I would go for that.
And after that, Tom, do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, if he did do that, he would have to get rid of perhaps McCowan or Shaughnessy because he's got Carson, Shaughnessy, and Carson.
Oh, so he's got so
Carson, McCowan, and Shaughnessy.
Yeah, so he has.
So he would need to drop one of those to get Bakayoko. But yeah, I do think McCausland's perhaps leaving himself a little bit short. But overall, a good team.
I don't think it's the worst. I think he'll score quite well with that team. All things going well. Right, next up is from SPL Showroom. For those of us bench boosting, how strong a bench do you recommend and who are the best cheap bench options? Okay, we'll kind of discuss this. It's budgetary. If you're going to have a cheap bench option, it's just getting players that's probably going to play twice and hope for the best. Do you have any players to add to the players we mentioned, Donny? Because it's getting a tight.
No, I've just said as strong as your finances allow because you need them to be playing to maximise getting the returns. You then need, you know, for the following few weeks to have a balanced team. So no point bringing in players at the lowest price point if then 2 weeks later they're of no value to you. So as strong as you can, Bakayoko, Devlin, Ross County players, it's all the names we've been mentioning throughout this podcast and ones previously that keep cropping up.
Any names, Dad, Tom? We've been through it a lot of them so far, or?
Yeah, just the ones that we've mentioned, really. You're going to have to make some big sacrifices to try and spread the funds around. And then you just end up with a really mediocre team. So you've really kind of got to get the main ones in and then try and those kind of last, those final sort of three or the three that are on your bench, you've kind of just kind of got to go budget options that you think potentially could get lucky and get a haul, really. Or else you're going to spend quite a few transfers if you don't have that second wild card, try to redistribute your funds again. So, I mean, part of my draft is I'm keeping my non-playing player because I'd be then just having to burn a transfer just to get a non-playing player to then try and sort of maximise your returns from your bench. So
yeah, I'm the same.
I'm sticking with the flag player for the time being, just so I'm not then burning transfers afterwards. So I think keep it cheap and cheerful and try and then maximise your sort of starting 11.
Yeah, next up is from Rambo Muna. A wildcard draft. We're not doing a wildcard draft, but I think we've discussed enough players over the space of this podcast. You can kind of work out what players you have. If anyone wants to play bench boost with 15 double week players, which midfield should they target? So just midfielders in, is there a set midfield you would target? Aberdeen,
You've already mentioned these players already, Donny. We mentioned the ones in midfield. We mentioned the Celtic playing a good fixture at home. Dundee, McGowan. I don't know if there's any more players to add to what we went through. Has anybody not mentioned yet, Tom, MD?
I don't think so, no. Clarkson, McGrath, O'Reilly, McCowan.
Danda.
You could go for Danda if you want.
Yep, I think that's pretty covered. You could go outside the box and maybe hope Bernardo keeps his form up and does well in the one single game fixture, but you're laying your eggs in one basket rather than playing the fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a question there again with Nathan Scobie about a wildcard team. Again, we're not doing a wildcard. We've talked about enough. I think you'll be able to work out a wildcard team for all through this. And assuming you're going to wildcard and bench Patrick Appleton, you're going to 23. Well, I am not. I am not doing either any of them chips. Donny, any chips this podcast? Infamous podcast this game week?
I think wild cards definitely, because as I said at the start, it marries up well with game week 26. If you're going to wild card, then you should also bench boost, which makes sense. I'm not going to triple captain, but the same as Tom, you only get one transfer the other side of your wild card. So if you get rid of your non-playing player, that's probably going to be your first transfer, is to get him back in. And then depending on injuries and form, you might have to make another transfer. So if you just say, right, I'll take the hit, might be 6 points, it might be more, just keep him in, and then I'll have the rest of the bench to fall back on. So I'm just going to wild card. I'm just going to bench boost. I can't see another big game week like this, but I'm not going to triple captain. But people that do, it's up to them. It's going to be an interesting few weeks, I think, until we get past these doubles and triples.
You the same, Colin? Wild card and bench boost, that's it?
Wild card, bench boost. I'll be keeping the triple captain for 26, and I'm undecided on when I'll be playing the second wild card. It'll depend on how my team looks after this coming game week, and how the transfer window looks as well.
Next up is from Mail Stars. After Tav, what are the two best range of assets? ? Desser / silver rotated, McCausland Nail ? Also, join attack to do with future doubles. Thanks. So you've kind of covered the doubles. Donny mentioned it. If you wildcard this week, it kind of leans on nicely to the next set of doubles. Also, you've got a couple of chances in between these windows. So if you can look, you can kind of plan towards it. But anyway, Rangers question, Donny. Best Rangers assets apart from Tav?
I mean, I think it's Taff, Cantwell, and then whoever the nailed-on striker is. If it turns out to be Shankland, great. You don't have to do anything. If it's somebody that we've brought in the transfer window that isn't already playing in Scotland, they're probably going to take time to hit the ground running, in which case I would just go to Bakayoko. But I think those are the players that you should be eyeing up. You've got like Raskin's coming back into the game. That's about it. It's tricky at the moment because it screams defence, but you need your budget for all the other teams that you don't want to be spending it on, the Rangers defence. So I would say Taff, Cantwell, whoever the first choice striker is, but as we've said in the podcast, there is friendlies and cup games before that. So just keep your eyes out.
Any players to add to that, Tom? You happy with Donny's list of players?
Yeah. I mean, Desser's form hasn't been too bad, but I suppose they are in the market for a striker and they have got silver. So yeah, perhaps could be a risk going with him. But again, keep an eye on the friendlies and the cups. Yilmaz is a risk because he's potentially going out the door. Goldson does soak up a lot of your budget by the time you get Tav and Goldson together. Yeah. I think it was it Suter that played against alongside?
It was, yeah.
Goldson. But then is how stuck on is he? How long is he going to keep his place? And then are Rangers potentially in the market for a centre back as well? I think they are, as I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult really to say any two players other than Tav and perhaps Cantwell, who seems to be coming back into some form.
Okay, and our last question is from Goal Machine 16. What should be the chip strategy now on? I have 61.99 million budget and all chips left. So, like you, Tom, I'll start with you then.
What was the question, sir?
He's got 61.9 million budget, so he's not your chip yet. What should his strategy be? Obviously, it's team dependent. We can't see his team, but I'm assuming you would be telling him attack this game week. and he's got the wild card.
You're going to have to attack the game week, yeah.
I'll side it anyway to save yourself if it goes all wrong. He's got two wild cards left.
His budget is a little bit on the low side because I know I've lost by holding on to certain players, and I think I'm up to about 60, 65.1 million. So I think the best approach would be focus on your starting 11. You can use your bench boost, but you're probably going to have to go with cheapy players like Penrice at 2.6, perhaps a St. Johnstone defender. You can't really allocate too much funds to that second keeper. And you may wish to have a non-playing player within your wild card as well. And then just kind of focus on the big players. You're probably going to definitely want Miovsky, Shankland. You've got to have Tavernier. And I'd probably try and stick with at least one Celtic player as well. So then after that, it's about piecing the team together. Maybe try and get a couple of Aberdeen, couple of Dundee, since there is a triple game week, and you're kind of maximising your chances of returns that way as well. But then try and plan ahead as well, because if you can keep a hold of that second wild card for a little bit longer, that may be of use to you rather than sort of just having a sort of almost like a what do you call it in FPL again when you just do it for 1 week?
Dead ended. In the team and then change it, or a
free hit. So rather than doing like the free hit approach where you just focus on game week 23 and then wild card again in 24, straight back out of it, if you can try and keep a hold of that second wild card, it may be of value to you. So try and focus on the fixtures after that as well. That'd probably be my approach, I think.
Plus on that, if he picks a player that they're also bringing in, his value will go up this week straight away because they're all going to get a rise, and if any of them land or hold decent, they'll rise again next week, so his value will probably up a decent amount by the time he goes to the next double game week. So, sorry, what's any of that, Donny?
No, not really. I mean, he wants to pick his strongest 11 to attack the doubles and the trebles. If he's then got enough for the bench, he can bench boost. If not, just save it. You know, you can use it in 26 if you've got the value in your team at that point. But just go wild. If you've got all your chips, then fair play. I think if me and you, Peter, both had two wild cards, then we'd definitely wild card this week. But I'm quite interested to hear why you're not playing your chips this game week. So I'll hand back to you.
Right, so that's the next point before we head out to the sunset. It is captain, vice-captain transfers and chips plans. So, Donny, I'll start with you. I'll go last because you're so intrigued.
So I will wild card. I think the game week 26 fixtures go hand in hand. The same teams tend to be doubling across those games. So I think I will wild card. At the moment, my heart is set on Captain Tav and Vice-Captain Miovsky. I think Miovsky is more just a goal scorer. He doesn't really get the assists. So as a vice, you're still going to get the goal returns there. If he goes wild and he gets bonus points, then yep, I'll miss out. But at the same point, the people who are double, triple captain and Miovsky won't have it on Tav. So, you know, you could make your points back there. So Captain Tav, Vice-Captain Miovsky, wild card and bench boost would be my plans.
Tom, same to you.
Yeah, definitely wild card this week. Definitely bench boost because you're never really going to have... There's always going to be players that are going to get injured, and it's always hard to find a game week just to bench boost. And then the wild card allows you to allocate a little bit more funds than what you perhaps normally would to your bench in order to try and sort of get some returns there. So I think you've got a wild card and bench boost this week. Triple captain, I prefer just because Tavernier just has this ability to get these really big scores. Even in a single game, he can get a big score. Yeah. By the time he's got his clean sheet and his bonus points, and he can get goals, he can get assists, and then you're potentially getting that over two games, the triple captain could really see you fly up the ranks. Whereas Miovsky, I don't know how many times he's braced this season, but I feel like it's probably not a lot. He does have three fixtures. Hearts haven't been too bad defensively. Two of the games are away from home. Aberdeen on a whole. The fixtures, the form's been a bit up and down. You don't really know what you're going to be getting, particularly after this time away. So I prefer the triple captain for Tav in 26. And the wild card, as you can probably guess by the fact that I'm keeping my non-playing player, I really want to try and not play immediately. Straight after this game week, I want to try and sort of see how things go, use my transfer to then try and move funds around again, and then kind of keep the wild card in the back pocket. I don't know when I'll play it. I think if there's players that come in the transfer window that, you know, look good, are returning well, then I can use that to try and sort of shift funds around that way. Or perhaps it might just be a last game week of the season where you just kind of target those teams that have got something to play for.
Do that. I done that a couple of years ago. It didn't work out. The mass rotation.
That's true. I don't know. I don't know what the second wild card. It's probably one of these things where you've got to wait and see, but could play it anywhere, really. Maybe not the last game of the week of the season, but start then looking at split. What teams have got something to play for.
Yeah, split would be a good...
But the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. I feel like that never really worked out that well either in previous... Apart from that one season where I think everyone piled in on Laffert and he did all right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's always been a bit underwhelming as well. So I don't know.
Right, myself, as Donnie's intrigued. Because I set the team up quite well with transfers recently, I don't feel the need. Maybe it'll come back and bite me right in the behind, but as it stands, I'm captain Tavernier, double fixture. I've got Cochrane in the back line, double fixture. I've got Devlin and Roos, triple fixture. I've got Brown on the bench, double fixture right now. Catmull, double fixture. I've kept O'Reilly and Palmer. Shankland, double fixture. Seema, who will become Wiowski, treble fixture. I've got two or three transfers by bits as well. So I would potentially just bench Brown, Armstrong, Palmer, keep O'Reilly in, make Beerith Bakayoko. With the two or three transfers done, that's me. Got all the players I want to play. I've got two non-playing players because Kelly's injured and Bright's injured at the back. So that way we get two of the best three off the bench. All I'm missing out would be the bench boost. So if I can keep track with the bench boost, I'm happy with that. And yeah, I've got Tavernier penciled out the captain in 2 weeks' time. And I don't really like the Majorski look at triple captains. Tom said he scores goals. He's not like a two or three game kit player. This guy will go on. He could go nuts this game week. People will be tripled up and they'll steal a match. But I'm just going with what I've seen so far this season, and that's where I'm going to play it. Then I'd have two transfers to the next double. I can get rid of one of my, I can get rid of Kelly. I could potentially get rid of one of my other non-playing players. And then I could bench boost for that double. How it lands out. Install the wild card intact with triple captain. But it's a week-to-week thing. I just don't feel this week the wild card needed. I think I'd be able to get through this week with the transfers I've got, enough doublers. All the big players I've kind of covered, and in the other case, maybe Armstrong or Palmer goes nuts, then I've got the differential he's going to have. That's the way I'm looking at it. You understand my mindset with it?
Yeah. No, that works out well.
I still expect to get a red arrow. I just, as long as it's not a big one, I'll be quite happy because then I've got that coming in return the next way around. And that's it.
So did you have an idea of when you would play your wild card then?
No, my thoughts were same as you. The transfer window kind of thing, players coming in. Rangers only sent one player. We've sent no players. And I know it's going to be a flood at the end of the window. So I see what happens. If I sign another one or two marquee players. For example, Silva hits the ground running and then he becomes a main, a must get. Then I can wild card and refix budget then. It's just, there's been this break. We don't know if these players are going to be playing.
Yeah.
I know Seema's away, but Seema can come back. If it's a good AFCON, he can break back into the team. Do I want a double up Rangers attack? Maybe a Seema and Silva and drop Cantwell. It's just, it gives me more information for the more eyes in the prize and take it for there onwards. Listen, it could go next week, it could be free for injuries and forced, isn't it? And I have to do it, but is it plans going to hold out a bit longer and see what I can get at the end of it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay, guys, I hope that has helped with your double and triple game week plans. Obviously, this is way out, so I'd listen to this podcast as soon as it gets downloaded, and then I would listen again next week before the game week starts. Eat fresh in memory because things can change. If things do change, we can also put information out before then with transfers and stuff like that. But it stands, we won't be back to after the, well, partly through probably the triple double game week, and we'll discuss where we are at that point. So before we go, what you get plugs in, Donnie?
I am at FFS underscore Donny.
And Tom.
I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you down the road and hopefully have a great double and triple game week. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.